Our sermon text for this morning, as Pastor Burgess mentioned, is the second lesson that he read for you from the book of Acts. I won't reread it. I'll certainly refer back to it in the sermon itself. I'll begin today by saying in Christ Jesus, my dear Christian friends. See, I told you so. I told you so. Hardly the words that you would ever expect to come out of the mouth of the Apostle Paul. And yet, essentially, that's what he said. See, I told you so. If you might recall from last week, Pastor Burgess mentioned it again. We found the Apostle Paul on a ship, right? So he was under heavy guard, on a ship, headed for Rome. He had been doing mission work in Jerusalem, preaching and teaching, falsely accused, brought to trial. And he said, as a Roman citizen, I want to go to Rome and have my case heard by Caesar himself. And so he was on this ship, and he was on the way, and they were in the port of Crete. And St. Paul noticed that the weather had changed. And he noticed that the winds were becoming pretty treacherous. So, being the nice guy that he was, he called attention to that, to the people on the ship. And he said, hey, we should not be sailing into this stuff. This is pretty dangerous. We should not be sailing into this treacherous storm that's coming. Don't do it. But Paul, being the prisoner, nobody listened. The lesson for today from Acts chapter 26 picks up for us in the middle of the storm. For crying out loud. In the middle of the storm, you've got people dumping stuff over the sides, anything that's not nailed down, dumping it over the sides to try to keep the ship afloat. In the middle of it all, you have the Apostle Paul, perhaps even himself, helping to dump cargo over the side so the ship won't sink, giving them the line, see, I told you so. Granted, hardly the most receptive audience for a See, I Told You So lecture. However, there was a whole lot more to it than just a finger-wagging rebuke from the Apostle Paul. Paul actually spoke up, not to just shame them, but to cheer them up. He actually said something, not to tear them down, but to encourage them for what was ahead. And he made his intentions pretty clear right away. He said, but now I urge you to keep up your courage because not one of you will be lost. That's a pretty bold statement, is it not? In the middle of a storm when you're dumping everything over the side to save your life? That's a pretty bold statement. And then Paul told them why he could be so bold. He said, last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. Of course, there's a little bit of irony in those words of comfort for the Apostle Paul. Remember, he was not supposed to be afraid. Because why? Because he was going to stand trial before Caesar in Rome. The only problem with that is the Caesar that was in power at the time was a man named Nero. And Nero, how to best describe him? A madman. An absolute madman who had an irrational, passionate desire to torture Christians. On the pages of history, Nero is the guy who fed the Christians to the lions in the Colosseum. Nero is the guy who literally lit up Christians for his parties to give lighting for his parties. He set them on fire. One theologian, a man named Spurgeon, years ago said this, it seems no more comfort than if the angel had said, you can't be drowned, for you are to be devoured by a lion. There was every expectation that the Apostle Paul would meet a horrible, cruel death at the hands of Nero if he would go to Rome. And ultimately, that is what happened. It would seem that it would be far less painful to go to heaven just simply drowning at sea than to have to go to Nero's court and be tortured to death by a madman who was known for doing such a thing. In the overall scheme of things, maybe it's better to die at sea. But the Apostle Paul didn't see it that way. He didn't see it that way at all. For the Apostle Paul, he viewed this as a way to preach the gospel, to proclaim God's truth in Nero's court, before Nero himself. This is the kind of thing that he had always sought after. This is the kind of thing he had always prayed about, even if it cost him his life. That was a price that he was willing to pay in order to glorify his Savior. Remember what Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. This was a way for him to glorify his Savior by bringing the gospel to Rome, to the very heart of those who had been opposing him, and to actually testify to the truth before the emperor himself. And now he had this ironclad promise from God himself that he would be given this golden opportunity to do just that. So Paul had this assurance from God that he would be spared in this storm. And he trusted, believed that to be true. Because after all, if God says you are going to stand trial before Nero in Rome, there's no storm and no shipwreck that's going to prevent that from happening. And if God had said, look, not a single one of the people that are on the ship there with you are going to die because of this storm, it's not going to happen, then Paul could rest in the confidence that God would always keep his promises. Paul spoke with boldness. He spoke with conviction, not because of a confidence in self, but because he was certain that God would do exactly what he said he was going to do. I am certain that when Paul spoke to the men on that ship, he sounded like he was certain about things, that he was very assertive when he spoke, very bold when he spoke. Not because he had an ego problem, or because he was so arrogant, or this irritating air of superiority about him. I'm sure that Paul sounded pretty certain because he knew that what he was saying was true. He had God's own authority, a revelation from God himself that this is what was going to happen. It highlights a truth about Christian leaders. It highlights one key characteristic about a Christian leader. Christian leaders speak with authority. Christian leaders speak with authority, just like the Apostle Paul did to the folks on that ship. Isn't it fantastic that we have the very same thing from God even today? No, I'm not suggesting that God still usually speaks to us through visions or through angels or something like that. No, today he actually put it in writing. He puts everything in writing for us right in his word, right in the Bible. Remember, God has called us not just to be leaders in the world. He's called us to be Christian leaders in the world, people who model and share the truths of the Bible with other people. Think about that for a moment. As God's own people, we have more to share, more meaningful things to share and model to the world than any other mere worldly leader ever could or would. We have God's own truth to model and share, and his Holy Spirit as our teacher as he builds us up in our faith through the Word. But that assumes a lot, doesn't it? That actually assumes that we know what the Word of God says. Right? That presupposes that we've been diligently studying the Word of God all along. Could it be that we have not been the best of Christian leaders because we've left the studying of God's word to somebody else? Could it be that we haven't been the best of Christian leaders because too often we divide those two things? We say, well, being a true leader and God's word, those are two mutually exclusive things. I mean, to be an influencer in the world is one thing, but faith and God's word, that's something completely different. That's more of a private thing than anything else. And so we lose courage. And our attempts to be Christian leaders oftentimes ring hollow because we haven't filled ourselves up with the word of God in our hearts and in our lives. And that is what makes the message about Jesus Christ, his gospel message, so meaningful and so important and so comforting for all of us. Because Jesus does come to us and he does fill up our hearts with his grace, doesn't he? He's the one that gives us courage. Remember, Pastor Burgess said at the beginning of the service when he did the readings, as you go through everything today, remember why it is that we can take courage in this life. Why it is that we can be courageous in being influencers for Jesus in this world. It all has to start with God's forgiveness for us, right? And Jesus always led by example. Jesus says, look, even for the times where you failed me as a leader in this world, you should have been filling yourself up with my word, and you didn't then give the great leadership that you could have and should have. I paid for that too when I went to the cross. I forgive you for all of your sins. It's that forgiveness from Jesus to me that motivates me to be absolutely certain to share my faith, to model my faith for others in this world. I can be so certain, I can take courage because I know what Jesus did for me. And I, in turn, can share that with you. And you have been given the same privilege. You know what Jesus did for you. That gives you courage to be the kind of leader that God wants you to be. In fact, it even goes beyond just Jesus forgiving our sins, right? He led by example. If you sin against me, I can forgive you, and I will forgive you. If I sin against you, you can forgive me and you will forgive me because Jesus forgave us first. He set the example. He led us so we can follow. It all starts with forgiveness, doesn't it? Jesus' forgiveness for us, the great motivator for giving us courage to model Christian behavior and to share Jesus with the world. But did you notice? Do you know something else that St. Paul did for those folks on that ship, for those men on the ship? I don't know if you noticed or not. When St. Paul spoke, he never sought to exalt himself. Paul was always looking to lift up everybody else. That whole I told you speech on the ship, that was meant to lift up people's hearts to make them glad for a bunch of guys who were despairing and being discouraged because their very lives hung in the balance and they probably didn't think that they were going to make it. The Apostle Paul, on God's own authority, assured them that not a single one of them was going to lose their life that day, which highlights another key characteristic of a Christian leader. A Christian leader strengthens others. A Christian leader strengthens others. This is what St. Paul said. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. A leader, a Christian leader, always looks to make those around him or her better, stronger, more productive, more motivated, all of those things. St. Paul was doing that for those men on the ship, wasn't he? He was giving them a reason to know that there was a future for them. He was giving them a reason to hope when there really was no hope for them in the midst of that storm. They had no hope whatsoever. Paul was willing to do that and give that to them. He wanted to strengthen them for what lay ahead. Have you ever seen leadership like that? You ever seen that? I've seen it plenty of times right here in our own congregation, especially at Christian funerals. Of all places, I see that leadership at a Christian funeral. I've seen it so many times where someone has lost a spouse of decades or more, and someone will come up to them and say, hey, I miss them too, and I know it's got to really sting right now, but isn't it good that we'll see them again in heaven? We'll see them again in heaven. It'll come very soon. And then they don't just let it stop there. I'm told that they actually come back about a month after that, and they check in on them. And they build them up again with God's promises. And then the week, or the month after that, and the month after that, and the month after that. They keep following up so that someone who had no hope Someone who really didn't have a reason for hope has somebody regularly checking in on them to give them hope in Christ. I've seen it in the classroom. A student comes to school, doesn't have a friend in the world. They don't know anybody or anything. And yet some kid in the class will make sure from the time that they step in that room, they have a friend. They will sit down next to them. They will make sure that they have a place with them at lunch. They will have a place with them at recess. They will hang out with them the whole day long so that they can go home and say, I have a friend at school. And everybody else follows suit when they see that one student leading in that way. Christian leaders always look to strengthen and build up those people around them that God has placed in their life, in their path. You know, St. Paul really did a lot for the men on that ship, didn't he? He took courage to really speak with authority because he knew that God's word was true. It was the very stuff that they really needed to hear at that moment. And he used that very same word of God to build them up so that they would have strength for what lay ahead. I hope and pray that that's the kind of leader that God shapes you and me to be. That he would use his word to make us bold, to take courage, to really tell people and model for people what they need to see and hear. Because we know that the Bible is true. We know it's right. And we want to share that with somebody else. And at the same time, to build people up, to strengthen them, anyone around us, so that they have strength for what lays ahead. Being the kind of leader like that, all to God's glory. May God grant that to each of us. Amen.